The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm very good. And you, do you know where I am right now, Howard?
No. Well, you know where we are, but where are you?
I'm at Beit Protea celebrating 25 years with them. And at the Golden and Medina exhibition that I see has moved from Cape Town to Johannesburg and now right here to Herzliya.
Oh, that's incredible. Beit Protea, that's an aged home, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. See, I know my stuff. And apparently an amazing, amazing institution, amazing organization, and one that cares for the elderly in an incredible way. So, please send the message. They need to keep up the good work that they are doing because they are world-renowned for it. Can we just talk about the next chair to the UNESCO board? Tell me it's not Iran.
Well, let me tell you something. I know it's Whiskey Thursday, and I know that you've moved from tradition today to talk about vodkas. Well, whatever you're pouring, just pour more of it, because today
make it
from
a double.
The sublime to the ridiculous, and make it a double. Because it looks like Iran is making a bid to chair UNESCO. I mean,
we've
seen over the last couple of months a whole brouhaha around UNESCO, to the point now where America has threatened to withdraw, Israel has threatened to withdraw from UNESCO. This despite the brand new head who's coming in, Audrey Azoulay, who's French, she's a Jewish Moroccan, and how UNESCO, who in the last couple of weeks have worked with the World Jewish Congress on an idea to set up a new website to educate against anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial, brings in arch-Holocaust deniers Iran to chair UNESCO. Maybe it's me, Howard, but I think, I don't know if we're living in a parallel universe or we haven't drunk enough whiskey or vodka or something lopacede right here.
The absurdity of it is that is this a real conversation? Do people actually have this conversation with all seriousness?
Well, it's serious enough for Israel to engage in some very, very, very strong lobbying against Iran being awarded this chair. But if we look at other UN agencies, the UN Human Rights Commission, which this week has dedicated to the exclusion of Israeli women from society. I mean, this in a week where more women are gaining higher positions in the Air Force, where we have seen an increase in women not just throughout the business arena, but through politics, through social justice mechanisms, through our courts. I mean, it is absolutely outrageous. I don't know. Are we on another planet?
The point is this, though, that UNESCO is in real danger with Israel suggesting it's pulling out, the United States removing itself. How does it think that it's going to regain any form of credibility with Iran on the board as chair, especially UNESCO being a historic organization, and you've got a country that is a Holocaust denier, it's got a revisionist approach to history? How can they expect on any level to be taken seriously?
Well, this is not to mention the fact that Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terrorist organizations around the world. And we've seen their proxy, Hezbollah, heating up in a war against Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is really something that's quite inflammatory for the whole region. And here you have the United Nations. I don't know if they take a loaded gun every day and shoot themselves in the foot. But really, they are making decisions that are not just ludicrous, but really, really harmful to the world.
Let's talk a little bit about the UK minister who was forced to quit. We spoke about this a little bit earlier on in the week, where she had gone to Israel on a family visit, but taken the time there to go. In fact, I don't know if you and I spoke about it, but we certainly spoke about it with Simon Ploska from Honest Reporting, and she had an unauthorized visit, an unauthorized meeting with Netanyahu. She's now been forced to quit. Give us a bit of a sense of what's going on here.
Well, again, I feel like we're living in a parallel universe. British MP, Priti Patel, was here, as you just said. She was here on a family visit. She met with government representatives with the idea of looking at ways that the RDF could distribute British aid to civilians who have been impacted by the civil war in Syria. It wasn't like she was making military deals or intelligence deals. She was looking at ways that they could help increase humanitarian aid to Syria. Coupled with that, you've got the leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, who's the leader of the Labour Party, and he consorts with Hamas and Hezbollah. Not only that, but the flagrant anti-Semitism in the Labour Party seems to be going largely unnoticed or not dealt with, along with the fact that he felt nothing to snub the dinner that was hosted by Prime Minister May for Prime Minister Netanyahu in celebration of the Balfour centenary just last week. So it is a horrendous double standard, and one which I think is actually dangerous for Theresa May and her Conservative Party, because by enacting or treating Priti Patel and Israel like this, she effectively plays right into the hands of Labour Party anti-Semites.
What I find interesting is when I looked at across the British press today, Huffington Post, for one example, even though I hate reading that publication, they are very, very supportive of the fact that she was dismissed. So there does seem to be widespread support in Britain for the fact that she's been removed.
But how much of a factor does Israel play in that removal? That's the question.
Very.
If she had met with government officials from another country, would there be this kind of outcry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very interesting indeed. John Kerry has been recorded blaming Israel for a lack of peace. Look, nobody with that kind of hairstyle can be trusted. We know that. But and John Kerry in particular, we've always had a very, very uncomfortable feeling about. He certainly hasn't made a lot of sense to us in a lot of ways, in a lot of the discussions we've had, especially with his view towards Iran and the Iranian deal. But he appears to be fairly strongly anti-Israel.
Yeah, and he was actually caught in a recording saying that basically Israel is to blame for the lack of any kind of lasting peace deal, and you know, you can't blame the Palestinians because, you know, apparently 40,000 Palestinian civil rights or civil society members have marched demanding their freedom, and I don't know when this happened. I also don't know when the following statement happened, where he says that the Palestinian Authority have done everything in their power to avoid violence. Are we living on the same planet?
Does he really believe that?
You know, if he believes that, then he must believe that the earth is flat and sits on the shoulders of a giant and that there is a tooth fairy. My apologies to anybody who still believes that there is a tooth fairy. But it's absolutely ludicrous. We've just had nearly 2 years of a wave of terror with shootings and stabbings and car rammings, the everyday incitement of violence. We know, it's common knowledge about the incitement of violence and flagrant hatred that is taught to generations of Palestinians, not to mention the firing of rockets into Israeli territory and the military incursions we've had to do because of violence.
Incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. Finally, before we let you go, Hezbollah has blamed Saudi for Hariri's quitting. Again, very, very, very complex situation happening. We do know that Hezbollah, funded by Iran, fired a missile at Riyadh. We know that Hariri was visiting Riyadh, I don't know if it was at the time or soon after, and that's when he quit his position as Prime Minister of Lebanon. What is going on?
Well, basically, this all happened on the same day. The rocket was fired this past Saturday. Hariri quit this past Saturday, saying that it's a very, very similar kind of atmosphere to before his father was assassinated. He has been in power for just over a year. And he said it is Iran, it is Iran's meddling in the region, it is Iran's backing of Hezbollah, that should anything happen to him, should he be assassinated, guess where you can point the fingers? Straight at Iran, straight at their proxy, Hezbollah. And now, because the war of words has heated up between the Saudis and between Hezbollah, with the Saudis going so far as to kind of woo the Palestinians that are in refugee camps in Lebanon, that should there be some kind of conflagration, they should take the side of the Saudis. And the very, very strong and harsh language used by the Saudi minister of the Gulf, there is such a portfolio within the Saudi government, attacking Hezbollah. Also, coupled with this, we have breaking news today that the Saudi king is stepping down in favor of a younger regime. So there is definitely a lot of movement. And now Hezbollah, in what to me is a very pithy defense, have said, no, it's the Saudis. The Saudis are the ones that are making this up. It's them persuading Hariri to quit, which is what led to this. It's not us. We are completely innocent in this whole ordeal.
Very, very interesting indeed. A couple of SMSs. Lucan says, with regard to UNESCO, April Fool isn't for another few months. Did I miss a few months? He wants to know that. And Pazul is saying Iran is democratic. It hasn't attacked any neighbors, unlike the United States and Israel, that has 180 UN violations against it. Iran seems the most qualified. Shalom from Pazul. What do you think about, what's your response to that, Roland?
Well, first of all, Pazulu, I think that, you know, with the comment that America's, you know, attacked neighboring countries, I think perhaps you need to understand America has not attacked neighboring countries. The issues with Afghanistan and Iraq are different to attacking a neighboring country. Second of all, Iran routinely threatens the destruction of the state of Israel and parades her ballistic missiles through the streets of Tehran. And with regards to the resolutions at the United Nations, many of them are, or most of them are trumped up. Trumped up resolutions against Israel at the expense of other conflicts, serious conflicts, like in Syria, like in the Sudan, like in Venezuela and other parts of the world. The United Nations seems to be obsessed with Israel. And, you know, presumably you know I love you. You know I love it when you comment. But unfortunately, when it comes to the issue of resolutions against Israel at the United Nations, there is such flagrant bias. And I would urge you to check out an organization called UN Watch, which watches the United Nations for the specific purpose of its singling out of the Jewish state at the expense of atrocities around the world.
And Roland Marks, that's where we leave it. Roland disagreeing as well with Fazulu, but I think this is what important discussions are about. Thank you for answering that, Roland. Time is 5:51.
Fazulu knows I love him.
Oh, absolutely. Little doubt about that. That's your Israel report for the week. We'll be back with Roland on Monday afternoon. Roland, are you causing havoc tomorrow morning on the Morning Mayhem?
Oh, you know it.
All right. So you can catch Roland tomorrow morning on the Morning Mayhem. And other than that, she'll be back with us on your afternoon with Howard Feldman on Monday. Have a Shabbat Shalom. Have a fantastic weekend. Disconnect from the news, and we'll catch you on the other side.